Started a series here last week, and it's called Bridging the Gap. And what we're talking about here is, you know, so much of Christianity, what we do here, what we're talking about here ultimately is that God wants to know you and he wants you to know him. And Christianity is ultimately a relationship. It's not a lifestyle. That comes afterwards. Certainly God tells us that there are things that we do, ways that we live our life, but it comes because of the relationship, because of who we are in Christ. Christianity is not about a set of rules and a set of moral values. Certainly that's true. We talked about that last week, how God is just and he has laid out rules. But they come and they're the framework. The framework that they're in is the framework of a relationship. And all of Christianity really gets back to that God says, I want you to know me. And God says, I want to walk through your life with you. I want to have a relationship with you. It says in Exodus that God is a God who is jealous or passionate about his relationship with you. You ever think about that? God says he's jealous. He says that about himself. He says, I'm a jealous God. You know what he's jealous for? You. He just likes you so much that if you're giving yourself to something else, that makes him sad, that hurts him, because God is passionate about his relationship with you. And that's what we're talking about. What does that look like? We're kind of breaking down this relationship that God wants to have with you. That's what this series is all about, bridging the gap. Because we know that having a relationship with God it can be problematic. It can be confusing. It can be something that isn't as apparent in the world as maybe we would like it to be. So what we're doing is we're just looking at this relationship, and how we're doing it is we're kind of looking at the different personalities, if you will, the story, the people in this relationship. And so last week we looked at God. God is the first part of this. He's one side of this relationship, if you will, and that's what we looked at last week. And we said a couple things. God is our creator. God made us. God made you and I. Because of that, one of the roles that he takes in this relationship is he's the master. He's the boss, if you will. And so that's a word that God uses to help us understand what his role in this relationship is. God is our creator, and so he's our master. But we said that God is love. And that God loves naturally, and his love is directed at you. It's not just kind of love anywhere. His love is directed at you. He's passionate, he says, about you specifically. He sees your face. It's just like a dad. You know, I have three kids, and I don't just kind of love my children, but I don't really know who they are. No, I know each one of them, and I recognize each face, and I know their names, and I know their personalities, and I know them because they're my kids. That's how God is about you. His love is directed at you, and he knows you. Sees your face, knows your name, watches your life. And so God is love. And that means that the words he uses to describe that, his role in that relationship, is a father or a friend or a lover. These are all words that God uses to describe himself in relationship to you. He says, I'm your father. We just sang that song, I'm a good, good father. He says that he's our friend. He says that he's our lover. He compares his relationship to a young couple just getting married. He says, I'm just like a young groom who watches his bride walking up the aisle. My heart is beating fast. You know that God, that's what God says about you? This is not. Sometimes I think we think that God is, you know, an old man with a white beard sitting on a mountain and it talks like this. No, he says, I'm a young man and I see you and my heart starts to beat faster because God wants to have a relationship with us. He loves and his love is directed at us. That's what we talked about last week. The third part about God that we talked about last week is that he's just or he's fair. He does set the rules. God is not afraid. He's not embarrassed. He doesn't apologize about saying, you know what, there are certain rules in the world. Just like me as a dad, I set certain rules in my house, and I don't apologize for it. There needs to be order. There needs to be a chain of command. And God says, that's my role. And so I'm going to set the rules, and I'm going to govern. So because God is just and fair and right, the role he takes, one of the roles he takes in our relationship with him is he is the judge. And it's perfectly good and right for him to do that, okay? So God is our creator, he loves us, and he's just and fair. That's what we talked about last week. If you weren't here, I encourage you to go online and listen to that message. Now today, we're going to take the next part of this relationship, and that's us. What about humans? What about you and I? What are we like? Because we're the other side of this, right? If we're talking about a relationship between God and me, God and you, well, you and I are the other side of that relationship. So we're going to look at us now and say, what does God tell us about us that will help us to understand our role in this relationship? Now, this series, sometimes you come to church and you listen to the message and it all gets wrapped up at the end. This isn't one of those messages. You're going to need to come back next week and the week after that. This is like the Star Wars series. We're going to leave you hanging completely, and you're going to have to come back next week to kind of wrap this thing up. But we're going to look at the second part here. So, what about us? Well, what does God tell us, about people, about humans, that we can learn how this relationship with God works? Well, here's the first thing. God said that we're made like him. You and I have been made like God. And we read this verse last week. I'm going to read it again. This is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. It says, "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." So we looked at that verse last week to acknowledge that God created us. But this week, we're looking at it again to say, okay, how did he create us? And it says an interesting thing there. It says, in the image of God, he created us. So in other words, you and I have been made like God. Now, we're not made equal to God. That's not what this is about. But we're like God. So what does that mean? What does it mean to be made like God? Well, it means all kinds of things that we can look at here. One of them is that we are eternal. We're going to live forever. Did you know that God created us to live forever? We were created to be eternal, just like God is eternal. We talked about that last week. God always was, and he always will be. Well, we had a beginning, but God created us. His plan was that we would never end. Our lives would never end. We were created to be eternal. That's a strange thing. You know, and our culture is looking for that. You know, Ponce de Leon, if you remember your fifth grade or sixth grade history, what was Ponce de Leon looking for? The fountain of youth. Came all the way over from Spain to Florida because he thought that he could find this fountain, that if he drank it, he'd never grow old. We still long for this idea of immortality. Well, God created us to be eternal, like him. What does it mean to be made like God? Well, we're moral. We have a moral compass. There's something in us that understands right from wrong. We know kind of instinctively that certain things are right and certain things are wrong. And there are rights and wrongs that transcend culture, because inside of us as people is this compass that, you know what, it's not good for me to kill my neighbor and steal his stuff. It's not good for me to beat my children. We know that. It is good for me to be generous and share. There's just this moral understanding that's inside of us that transcends culture. Where did that come from? Well, God has that. We said that. God is right. And so we're like him in that way. We're moral. Here's another way that we're like God. We're creative. We have an imagination. You know, we can imagine something, and so we create. That's what we as humans are, crazy inventive, aren't we? We're just studying in history. I'm going through history with my son, who's in 10th grade, and we're looking at the 20s when there was just this, you know, Thomas Edison was inventing the light bulb, and Henry Ford had the car going, and we just love to invent, and we do it all the time. And, you know, now we live in a world where the great innovations are digital. They're computery. Shows how much I know about it to say computery, but that's what they are. And so we as humans, we have this ability to invent and create, and we can imagine something that isn't and then build it. If you stop and think about it, that's an amazing thing. I can imagine something that isn't, and then I can build it and make it happen. Well, God is that way. He imagined the world and he created it out of nothing. We're like God in that we can create. We have an imagination. We're relational. We interact with each other. We get married. We join clubs. You know, I have cattle. They don't have a club. Well, these cattle gang up with that cattle club. I mean, they just don't do that. But we're relational. We look for interactions with each other. We form societies. We have this relational component that's in us that we long to be with each other. God is like that. We can reason. We can think. We can logic things out. That's why we understand math. We can do quantum physics because we can reason. We can, well, some of us can do quantum physics because we can reason. And we have the ability to logically think. These are all things that are like God, but it's worth asking the question, well, so what? What does it all mean? Here's what I think it means. When we say that we were made like God, we're made in the image of God, I think that the reason or the sum total of it is this. Because I am made like God, I can have an intimate relationship with God. Because you are made like God, you can have an intimate relationship with God. It's like this. I don't have this verse, but in Genesis, when we see God creating everything, he tells an interesting story here about Adam and Eve. And it says this. This is in Genesis chapter 2. I'm just going to read this. I don't have this on the PowerPoint. In verse 18, it says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper who is just right for him.'" So God looked at Adam. He'd made Adam, the man, first. And Adam was there in the garden and doing all the stuff that he's doing in the garden. And God says, it's not good for him to be alone. He needs some relationship apart just from me. That's what God was saying. And so he says, so it says here, "So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals, birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And so he paraded all of these animals by him." And Adam said, okay, that one's not best. That one's not best. All of these things, that something just wasn't quite right. And it says here, "But for Adam, still there was no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs, closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last," the man exclaimed, "this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." And that's the same thing. Adam could have a different relationship with Eve than he could with the ant. Why? Because Eve was like him. They were not exactly the same, but they were able to have an intimate relationship with other because they were the same thing. I like my dogs, but I don't have the same relationship with them that I do with my kids or my wife. You and I are like that. We can have an intimate relationship with God because we're like him. We were made like him so that we can have a relationship with him. And we talked about that at the beginning. That's what God intended all of this for. God wanted to have a relationship with you. So he made us like him so that we could. So that's the first thing. When we look at us, we're made like God so that we can have a relationship with him. Here's another thing that we see in the Bible about you and I. God made us like him, but he also gave us the ability to choose. And you and I have choices. We have choices who we're going to have a relationship with or what we're going to do. God gave us the ability to choose. In Joshua here, this is much later, but we see this kind of spelled out in Joshua 24:15. I'll read from verse 14. "So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve." In other words, you and I have the ability to choose. God said, "I'm going to make you. I'm going to make you like me. And my longing is to have a relationship with you. I want to be close to you. I want you to know me. And I want to just be close to you and intimate with you. But you and I can choose." God didn't make it so that we had to do this. We choose. Today, you and I choose whom we're going to serve. We choose what we're going to do. You and I have choices. Therein lies the great problem for you and I. Therein lies the all of the struggle and the difficulty that we see in our lives and in the entire world and all of history. The problem is we make bad choices. God put us on this earth, and he said, I love you, and I made you like me, and I want to be with you, and I want to walk with you, but choose today who you're going to serve. And we have consistently, regularly, universally made bad choices, and it started with Adam. Way, way, way back, the very first people that God made, that God was with them, they started off the bad choices, and we've been following them ever since. Here in Genesis chapter 3, God had given them the command, don't eat from this certain tree, and they did. And in verse 11 of chapter 3, God is speaking. He says, have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? The man replied, it was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it. Adam and Eve made a bad, bad choice. And it's interesting here, guys, what I think that the choice is. What was the bad choice that Adam made? I want you to think through this with me a little bit, okay? Look at that. God says, hey, I told you not to eat from this one tree, and you did. I mean, God is asking him, have you eaten from the tree? Well, God knew that he had. Adam had taken fruit from that one tree that God said, don't do it, and he'd eaten it. The man replied, it was disappearing. It's getting closer. The man replied, it was the woman who gave the woman you gave me, who gave me the fruit and I ate it. What was Adam's mistake here? What was the bad choice Adam made? Threw his wife under the bus. Was the big mistake that he ate the fruit? I mean, you could say that. Here's what I think. I think the big mistake that Adam made, And you're going to have to work with me a little bit on this. I think Adam chose his priorities poorly. He said, this woman gave me this fruit. You told me not to. I chose her. I chose her and not you. I relationally gave myself over here instead of to you. And that was the beginning. Worst, we have technical difficulties. I think that's the mistake that Adam made. He chose poorly in his primary relationships. Does that make sense? And you and I have been doing that ever since. We just don't choose God when we should. When God says, I know you and love you, we choose something else. And that's the thing that you and I have been doing forever. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 says, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. We have left God's paths to follow our own. We have chosen something else other than God to give ourselves to. We have looked for satisfaction. We've looked for identity. We've looked for things that God wants to give us. We've chosen to look for them somewhere else rather than with God. And that's what the Bible calls sin. In Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned. Everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. We choose poorly. And what sin is at its beginning, here's what I think sin is. It's not doing the wrong thing. It's choosing the wrong God. Because what we're doing when you and I choose to disobey God is we're saying, Lord, I can get what you want to give me better somewhere else. How many times, how often when we feel like there's something wrong in our life, do we look to another person? Do we go to a movie? Do we eat? We long to feel satisfied. We long to feel whole. And God says, I can give it to you. And we say, no, I'm going to choose something else. I can do it myself. Or I'm going to get it from that person. Sin begins, I believe, at the core choice of God, you are not the number one relationship in my life. And I'm going to look for what I need and want somewhere else. That's the poor choice that every one of us has made. And that's what the Bible calls sin, turning your back on God. And so people, you and I, We're created to be like God, to have an intimate relationship with Him, to live forever with Him in just joy and happiness and satisfaction. And God said, will you choose this? And we said, no, I'm going to choose something else. And we turned our back and we said, no, God, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to look for something else. We've chosen poorly. And our choices have consequences. Remember, we said that God is just. We said that God sets up these rules and He's just and fair, and part of that means He's the judge. And so when we choose, a judge does two things. He rewards righteousness and He punishes unrighteousness. He rewards good choices and He disciplines and punishes poor choices. When we sin, when we choose to turn our back on God, that has consequences. Those consequences are laid out for us here in the Bible. The first one is separation from God. In Isaiah 59:2, it's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, He has turned away. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. You know, God created Adam and Eve, and He was right there with him. He saw him. He talked to him. He came and He walked in the garden with him. That was His desire. That's why God made us. God made you with the thought, I'm gonna physically be there with him. Just like a dad with his little boy. Just like right here. Chris and Rafe, that was God's plan. You and I would sit on his lap, and he'd toss all her hair, and he'd give us little hot dogs. And that's, there were hot dogs in the Garden of Eden. You didn't know that? That was God's plan, to be with us. But when we said to God, you know what, God, you're pretty good, but maybe you're not everything you're cracked up to be, and maybe I can do better over here. When we said that, God said, all right, I'll let you have your choice. You've chosen something other than me. Go ahead. And he stepped out. He says, I won't share you. I won't share you. You cannot serve me and anything else. And so when we chose that person, our own desires, instead of God, when we turned our back on him, it's not because he was angry. He said, all right, that choice has a consequence. And the consequence is that now we are separated. So you and I don't see God physically like his desire was. We don't live with him in a face-to-face world like he desired from us. It's what we asked for, separation. That separation has a consequence, or there's another consequence to our choice, and that's death. It says in the Bible, in Romans, again, 6:23, says, for the wages of sin is death. What we've earned, what naturally comes because of our sin is death. And you can think, well, that's not fair. Well, it's just one of those nights. I got to get that somehow now. I'm not sure how I'm going to do that. Think about it this way. Death, we might think death is an extreme consequence for sin, but think about it this way. This plant here is alive, isn't it? I mean, it's growing, and that leaf there is growing. It's alive. It's getting bigger. It's doing all the things that leaves do. When I take it off of there, now it's separated from the rest of the plant. What's going to happen to this leaf? It's going to die. What is going to kill this leaf? Ultimately, what's going to kill it? Why is it going to die? It's not connected to the thing that gives it life. Yeah. It needs to be connected to that because that's where life comes from. And when you pull this thing away from what gives it life, it's going to die. Understand the connection. When you and I are separated from God, He's our creator. He's what gives us life. He keeps us alive. He says He gives us every breath. And when we are separated from God, we are separated from the thing that makes me alive. And death is the natural result of being separated from God. It's the natural consequence, and it's the just reward because this leaf didn't have a choice. We separate ourselves from the Lord. We cut ourselves off from God and fall to the ground. And God, because He's just, says that's your choice. Now, what's going to happen to you? Is your sin, your choice, will kill you. And you will die because of your sin. It's a consequence of our choice. And God won't just forget that. Why? Well, because he's just. It's who he is. He can't deny that. And his justice demands it. The third consequence, my Bible's down there. The third consequence to sin is hell. That's what it says there in 2 Thessalonians. They will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord. Hell is just, you know, we said that we were created to be eternal. That's still true. You and I are going to live forever, not in these physical bodies. Our physical bodies are going to die, but our spirit will live forever. That's what God tells us, because that's what he created us to be. But we're going to live forever because of our sin, separated from God, separated from all of the goodness. You see, we're still surrounded by so much of God's goodness. He says he reigns on the righteous and the unrighteous. God still makes this world work. You and I still have food and clothing and so many of the gifts from God, even though we've separated ourselves from God. Hell is the complete and total separation from God for all of eternity. Eternal death. Hell is real. Just as real as this room is. And hell is the terrible, final, eternal consequence of our choice to sin. And that's true of all of us. God created us to be with him. He made us like him in his image so that we could have an intimate relationship with him. But he gave us the choice, and we chose poorly. We turned our back on God. We clung to something else. And that choice has consequences. We're separated from God. We're slowly dying. And in this state, we will spend eternity in hell. But there's a couple more things that we have to understand about ourselves. And one of them is that even though you and I don't see God now, even though we are generations removed from Adam and Eve who saw him face to face, we didn't forget. We didn't forget what it's like. And we didn't forget where we came from. In Ecclesiastes, God says this. He says he's planted eternity in the human heart. You know, you and I have something in us that knows that we have an eternal Father. I believe that's what that means. We know there's something beyond this life. People who claim that they don't believe in God wrestle with the thought that there's something else out there. You know, if we really thought that this earth was all there was, none of us would be afraid of death, would we? Because death would just be you fall asleep and then you're done. And if we really, really were confident that there is no God and that all this stuff doesn't make any difference, death wouldn't be a big deal. But we know death is a big deal. Why? Because inside of us, we remember, I'm created for something different than this. This is not what I was born for. And there's a relationship, there's a longing, there's something in us that knows that I'm missing something. Without God, we are just that there's part of us. We were created to be with him, and when we're not with him, we can feel it. We might not even know what it is. And so many of us walk through life with this growing, uncomfortable tension, not knowing even what it is. Well, what it is you and I are feeling the call of our Father. We are feeling something that we can't maybe even put into words. We're feeling and recognizing something that we can't even quite get our head around, but it's this, that I have been made for something different. And this is not who I am. And what I'm seeing around me and the life I'm living is not, there's something wrong. Something wrong. We didn't forget. And here's the last thing. God didn't forget. God doesn't forget. I love this quote, and I can't read it to you. But this is God speaking. He says, I, the Lord, made you, and I will not forget you. Oh, return to me, for I've paid the price to set you free. You see, when we sinned and when we turned our back on God, he could have just washed his hands and said, all right, your choice gone. I'm just, I'm free. You made a choice. I'm not going to think about you anymore. But his justice does not cancel out his love for you, his passion for you. He does not forget you. and he hasn't forgotten you. And he says, I've made you. I can't forget you. Oh, return to me. Return to me. For I've paid the price to set you free. So, where are we at so far in this series? We started with God. And we said this about God. Who is God? And on Sunday, if you were here, this is how I ended the message on Sunday. Who is God? Well, he's more powerful than you can imagine. He's better than you ever hoped for. And he's looking for you. God created you. He keeps you alive. He watches over you. He loves you. He's passionate for you. And he's looking for you. He's calling for you. He's saying, oh, return to me. That's who God is. Today we ask this question, who am I? Well, I'm lost and afraid because I have been separated from what I was created to be. I'm not living in this world. Separated from God is not what I was created to be, and somewhere inside me, I feel it, and it confuses me, and it makes me afraid, and I'm lost and afraid without God, and I want to come home. I want to come home. That's true of all of us. Whether we can put that into words or not, we are drawn to our dad, and we know that he's there, and we want to come home. Now, in the weeks to come, in the next 2 weeks, we're going to keep going. Like I said, we're not done tonight. We are done tonight. But we're not done with the story. Next week, we need to come back and pick it up again because we said this last week. This is a story that goes for a while. This is a drama that unfolds over time. And so we're just working our way through it, okay?